So the Gemara Ksuba says, Tanu Rabbanan, L'olam Yidur Adam Baritz Yisrael, Afilu B'ir Shiruba Obdei Kochavim, it's Nifsak L'Halacha in the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, V'al Yidur B'chutz Aretz V'afilu B'ir Shiruba Yisrael, Shekol Adar Baritz Yisrael, Doma Kimi She'esh Lo Eloha, V'chol Hadar B'chutz Aretz, Doma Kimi She'ein Lo Eloha. Very strong language of the Gemara, somewhat softened by the Doma, but, you know, to say somebody is godless is very harsh indeed. And indeed, the Gemara is saying, you know, better to be in a lesser Jewish community in terms of its size, in terms of its quantity, maybe even if its quality, because living in Chutz La'aretz, kol mi shadar b'chutz la'aretz, doma kimi she'ein lo Eloha. It's like being godless. We only have this statement in one other place in all of rabbinic literature, which is in the context of, go ahead, Yeshua. Outstanding, very good. When we discuss the idea of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, kideba'i leilo avad, that the greater Talmud Chacham a person is, that commensurate to that, the chiyuv of Gemilas Chasadim goes up. And there, I think it's pretty readily understandable that what we're talking about is chesed is defining of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's the Rav Chesed, ve'alach de'bedrach of a person who doesn't engage in chesed, even if it is really that he's engaged in chesed, but kideba'i leilo avad, so kimi she'ein lo Eloha. Again, not ein lo Eloha, but ke mi she'ein lo Eloha. Softened it with the same qualifying terms, or dome, ke, as we found in the Gemara in Ksuvos. So it's a little bit less understandable is the Gemara in Ksuvos per se. And I'd like to try to answer it one way. Now, by the way, before the Siyum, I will be giving a completely different approach to this, so I'm not saying that this is the only way to look at this Gemara, but I would like to evaluate the Gemara from this perspective, a perspective that I would like to try to develop here with you regarding Eretz Yisrael. So the eighth source is from the 53rd chapter of Yeshayahu. Anybody know what's special about the 53rd chapter of Yeshayahu? Shlomi?
All the Christians like it a lot.
Right. They call it the chapter of the
Suffering
servants, because there seem to be some indications that v'hu chet rabim. Exactly. What's just quickly? What's their doctrine? What's their idea? Jesus is crucified to atone for our sins. Now, why can't we atone for our sins? Basic Christian theology. Just that people should know this. Avi, I'm sorry. Well. Not exactly, Donnie? Yeah, exactly. Man has fallen. Man has been corrupted. After the original sin, man can't possibly... Right? And cheer? Man can't possibly achieve kapara for himself. Okay, so... It's a great story. The Rav was encountered somebody who was proselytizing. Literally, this really happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who was thought that he would be able to get the Rav on Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Gimel. And the reason that it's called the suffering servant is that the term Avdi is used throughout the chapter. The Rav then went through the previous 52 chapters of Sefer Yeshayahu, asking the... individual who was proselytizing to him whether or not that he thought that Avdi there referred to the Jewish people or to a representative of the church. And in each occasion he said, well, it would have to be the Jewish people in this context. So the Rav says, you know, so now that we get to the 53rd chapter, what changed exactly? Don't you think it's consistent in the previous 52 chapters? So at that point, the person who was proselytizing to him said, I have to go back to Rome to see whether or not I'm still allowed to represent the church or whether I've sort of disqualified myself in this process. Okay. In any event, Lachena chalek lo baravim veratzimim yechalek shalal tachas asher harel amavis nafsho. Okay, you could, if you're reading it out of context, it's always good to proselytize out of context, right? So if you're reading it out of context, tachas asher harel amavis nafsho, somebody was prepared to give... his life, literally, ves poshim nimna, right? And it either means he allowed himself to be counted amongst the sinners, Christian interpretation, or that the sinners were counted, but ultimately he was able to redeem them. V'hu chet rabim nasa, through lifting up the sin of the masses, la poshim yafkia, he interceded on behalf of the poshim. So keep that pasuk in mind. And the Gemara, the drasha of Rabbi Simlai, is going to develop this idea in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu. A Gemara that I find very difficult to understand for reasons that I'll try to explain. Okay. Avrami, want to do the honors? Darish Rabbi Simlai.
Darish Rabbi Simlai, Torah, Tefilata Gimil Chasadim, Vesuva Gimil Chasadim. Tefilata Gimil Chasadim is Tiv, Vayas Hashem Elkim, Avadam, Visho, Kaprisha Note here.
Your cut note, or?
Vesuva Gimil Chasadim is Tiv.
So that's what I was modestly suggesting before, that somebody doesn't have chesed is kami shein lo aloha, because chesed defines the Torah. Tchilasa chesed, v'sofa chesed, everything Hashem does should be perceived of as chesed. So if you're not involved in chesed, you're not like Hashem, ve'alach tebitrachav, you're kami shein lo aloha. Okay, now next drasha, darish Rabbi Simlai. Right. Moshe needed to go into Israel to have the Rimonim and the Ta'anim. So is that why he had to go into Eretz Israel? We're now going to break up this pasuk. I will give him a major chalak. Yachol ka'achronim v'lo k'rishonim. Talmud lomar. Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Yeah, they had another source that assumes that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were involved in the Torah. Tachas asher he'erel amavis nafsho. Mim ayin. If you're not willing to forgive the people, mechenina. Right, that's in the context of the... Excellent, okay. Mete midbar. Right, that effectively, I'd like to read this in light of the previous line of the Gemara, that is to say, by sticking up for the Jewish people in the Chir HaEgel, he got himself into a scenario where he would eventually die with them. And let's not forget, Moshe basically sacrificed his life at that point. No. Okay? V'uchet rabim nasa. Right? God was going to destroy them at that moment. La poshim yafgia. So, I have no problem with Gemara suggesting that the reason, Avi, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into the land of Israel was because he wanted to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs. What always bothered me about the Gemara is that the Gemara assumes that it would have been sufficient from Moshe Rabbeinu's point of view to... What's that? To just get the schar. Always bothered me. I'm not offering a teretz. Just asking Kasha and the Gemara. What's that? Oh, yeah, the same Kasha? Okay. Baruch Shekibanti. I'm sure you offered an answer. Okay, I'd like to leave it as a Kasha for now. Is that what we think? That Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't at least as demanding of himself as Antignos Yishsocho? This bothered me. I think Moshe would have been satisfied. Oh, would you just give me the schar, I'll be okay. That's what Moshe was in it for. Even spiritual reward? Avram Yaakov? Doesn't sit well. Yeah, strange. But, I should have, trying to take and isolate this idea of Moshe Rabbeinu desperately wanting to get into the land of Israel. I happen to love the question of the Gemara. Mipnei ma nis'ave Moshe Rabbeinu likanes Eretz Yisrael. That question is what I want to try to develop. And I'd like to try to develop it as a way of answering, what do we mean, kimi she'en lo aloha, if a person is satisfied, ladur b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, so there's certain psukim in Parshas Hekev Yaakov, you want to do the honors that really are of some great significance? It's not like Eretz Mitzrayim, a topographical vending machine. You irrigate the ditches, crops come out. Your money doesn't even get stuck. Eretz. So, what's being described here as unique to Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael's relationship with Akiva, how would you put it? It's unique to Eretz Yisrael is that relative to all the other Aratzot, Eretz Yisrael is the only one that has well said. Hashkacha tmidis. And as a matter of fact, you earned it, Akiva. Do you want to take the next Gemara? The Gemara Masech Tainis and Daf Yud. The Gemara clearly picked up on this idea that Eretz Yisrael, right, is divinely supervised. The Ramban has this whole fascinating theory that God interacts with the rest of the world through filters, through Sarim or Malachim. You can, you know, basically use whatever metaphysical terminology you want. Tanu Rabbanan. Right. So Aretz versus Chutzos. So he's the Nosin Matar Al Pnei Aretz. So Rafa, you see the same theme of the Pesukim Nekev echoed here in the Gemara, namely that a Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the whole world, but its interaction with Eretz Yisrael is direct, right? Unmediated. The idea of Eretz Yisrael, here we're starting to see, you know, Kimi Sheyesh Lo Eloha perhaps means to be in the divine presence. Mipnei Manis Ave Moshe Rabbeinu Likanes Eretz Yisrael. If the idea is that one deeply yearns, put it in terms of David HaMelech, V'ani Kirvas Elokim Litov, right? My desire is to be close with God, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid. Surely that same spirit animated Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to look at the Rambam now. I think there's something in the Rambam that is very subtle in terms of his presentation of the Gemara. Truth of the matter is, it could be based on a different makor and chazal altogether. But you'll tell me, this is something that we've spoken about in the past, right? The Ramban counts Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't count it. There's some, you know, the prevailing view is that the Rambam really does consider it a mitzvah, but he didn't enumerate it. Not the only example that we have of that. Of course, the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim being a famous one. Let's take a look at the Rambam's formulation, though. The Rambam discusses, Yonatan, this one's for you, the concept of living in Israel, but the Rambam formulates it, and just like, if you can keep the Gemara that we're working off of, the Gemara Ksuvis Kofiyot in mind, the Rambam extremely subtly is formulating things in a particular direction. Okay, so Yonatan, go ahead. Aser. Okay, very good. So this is parallel to the Rambam's view of being these are the conditions under which, more or less, you can sell a safer Torah. Okay. The Afal P. Right, if there's an outright famine. Right. You have to wonder, how much is it a Midas Chasidus? If you don't keep a Midas Chasidus, you don't usually die. Okay, so the Rambam is saying, more or less, you never want to leave Israel unless it's for Lomba Torah, Lisa Isha, or the situation is dire, and even then, you know, it's not quite clear that you're really permitted to leave. Then the Rambam says, and this is the closest he gets to a mitzvah saseh formulation, last halacha in Parakei, le'olam. Okay, so far so good. He's quoting the Gemara in Ksuvos Kaf Yud. Now something really fascinating happens. Nachlas Hashem Limor Leich Avod Elohim. Right. So it's interesting. The Rambam's formulation, right, is less about being dar b'chutz la'aretz, but l'shitaso, his emphasis seems to be Shmuel. Jonathan? The Gemara says like living in chutz la'aretz, right, is like avodah zara, is like misha ein lo eloha, but the Rambam consistently puts it yoni.
I mean, it's more about not leaving.
Good, right? The Rambam l'shitaso seems like focused on leaving Eretz Yisrael, right? It's very interesting, right? Shmuel, he starts off his presentation of, if you believe, let's just for argument's sake say he believes there's a mitzvah of living in Israel. He starts off in a funny way of Asur Latzeis Me Eretz Yisrael, first establish the mitzvah. And he comes back exactly to that same place, that anybody who leaves Eretz Yisrael, that's really the problem. And then you couple those two diyukim with his perspective on Machlon and Chilion, that Nischaivu Kliya L'makom. Why? Because what do? They left, right? It's not so much, this is a little bit of a radical formulation, Yaakov, but the issue isn't so much whether you leave in Israel or Tinek, but not making Yerida. Now, why would that be such a problem? And Jonathan, how do you conceptualize that?
I mean, it sounds like it's around what she touched on from way back in the beginning of the year. When you talk about Minyan, how you're not allowed to opt for a spiritually lesser thing. Okay. If you have the ability to live in as a soul, right, then you're shucking up, you've got to opt for that.
Excellent. Okay, very well said. Whereas the idea, I think, quite clearly is to abandon the Shechina. So it's not an optimal thing. Lo'olam yidor adam b'aretz Yisrael. The Rambam is saying it's far better to live in Israel than to live in chutz la'aretz. But when the Rambam wants to use munachim of, you know, actually surim, he doesn't say actually that it's asur ladur b'chutz la'aretz. What does he say is asur to do? Let's say me'aretz Yisrael. Right. You see the nuance, Avi? So it's better to live in Israel, but where you get into munachim shel isur veheter, actual chiyuvim, is actually a problem with leaving the makom hashchina. Shekol ayotzei lechutz la'aretz, you're abandoning God. What's a pithy way to say you're abandoning God? You're an oved avodah zarah. So if it were me, and again, it's not what the Gemara said, I have to admit it, and Avram will get to you in just a second. If it were me, what I would have said, Mipnei manis avim Moshe Rabbeinu likanes l'Eretz Yisrael, what would the answer be? Yeah. Eretz asher Hashem elkecha doresh osa. Tamid inei Hashem elkecha ba mereshis hashana ve'ad acharish shana. So if that's true, then the following point that we left for you guys to look at can emerge based on the Gemara in Erchin. Then we'll take a pause and go to Avrami. The Gemara in Erechin was talking about the possibility of saying Halal on Purim, and we know that there are three answers in that. The Gemara, the Rambam's privileged answer is, we do say Halal on Purim in the form of, exactly. The two reasons not to were, number one, Akasei Avdei Achashverosh Hanan. Remember I alluded to that last period, where I say if you don't really think the threat is over, you're not going to say Halal. Okay? And then the other reason given in the Gemara was Yonatan? Exactly. Because it's not really a nace in Eretz Yisrael, it's a nace in Chutzarts. Ah, what about Shira Sayam? Well, Shira Sayam, the Jewish people hadn't yet entered Eretz Yisrael. So one way of looking at that, I think a very compelling way of looking at that, is apropos the Meiri. And I mean, I haven't forgotten about you, but Yoshua, what would be a way of tushtelling this to the Meiri? The Meiri said, or implied, rather, that Hallel with the Bracha could only be recited when it's a salvation of all of... Exactly right. So how would you combine that with this line in the Gemara Nerechin? That you would never say Hallel on an Eisha b'chutz laretz, even if maybe quantitatively it was the vast majority or all of Israel. What's the problem with the Nesha b'chutz laretz? It can't really be considered, Eli? Yeah, a national salvation. It may involve tons of individual Jews. But the idea is that the Kahal only exists. Go ahead, Shlomi.
Yeah, in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yehuda, like we talked about it in that context, about
the Arvus is created by crossing the Yarden. The Kahal, the Gemara in Horios and Daf Gimel, has to be Rov HaKahal, so who's in the Kahal? Klal Yisrael, Shabert Yisrael, Nikra in Kahal. So I think that's a very compelling way of reading the Meiri, of reading the Gemara in Erchin in light of the Meiri. Now, apropos what we're saying now, what's another way of reading that? That Nesha B'chutz Laretz, you can't say Hallel. Shmuel? Oh, the whole idea of Hallel is to say, Az Yashir Moshe, Zeh Keli V'anveyu. Right, the Yad Hashem is so clear, right? So if the whole idea is that God's interactions with the world outside of Eretz Yisrael are, as Rafi pointed out correctly before, based on the Gemara in Tainus, Al Yedei Shaliach, right? Then that may be another way of interpreting the Gemara in Erchin. Two suggestions based on what we're saying. I would answer Lios B'makom Hashchina. Avrami, sorry to keep you waiting. I just wanted to tie those thoughts together. We pull those threads. If you want to make the suggestion in light of the Rambam at the end of the parak, that leaving Eretz Yisrael is Chayv Misa. Why are you getting close? Yihareg Val. Because what's it likened to? Yeah. Right. So again, you have the Lomo Torah, Lisa Isha, right? But you know, the Ram says there's an Isser Mukhlat, and he projects that even though it's a Midas Chasidus, there's one thing that's just really strange. This Machon and Chulian point keeps on sticking out, right, Yaakov? That they didn't keep a Midas Chasidus, so they need to die. It borders on that, right? Asr Latzeis Meretz Yisrael Chutzlaretz Leola. So there are those who have suggested that that was the basis of Lubavitcher Rebbe's practice. Shmuel, sorry, I know I missed you before.
I was just going to ask something.
You were driving at that, right?
Yeah, like how
the right, so he says, you can leave for a short business trip. You're allowed to leave Lomotor Lisa Isha, but then he says, V'yachzor la'aretz. He's very clear, right, that you can never leave on a with the intention of not returning. It says la'olam. It doesn't sound like you have to be a citizen, right? Now again, in questions of things like maos chitim, the first parak of Bava Basra, figuring out various municipal taxes that you have to pay to establish yourself as a dar, you know, sometimes you need a full year, sometimes you need 30 days, whatever it is. But do you get that impression from the Rambam? Maos chitim.
Yeah, because there's the tshuva of, like, now that there's a lot of pogroms, we have
to... Yeah, you remember who was that?
Was that the Ma'aril?
The quoting? Very good.
Wait.
It's only going back to...
Dor Zoro?
What's that?
Dor Zoro?
Close. The smack. Yeah. Okay. What's that?
How do we validate...
Okay. You know, I'm trying to create scenes at the airport over here. But, you know, the question is whether one considers, one wants to adopt this Rambam. Nachum? Yeah. Yeah. you'd sacrifice the quality of Jewish life, clearly, for the sake of living in Eretz Israel. There's no doubt. Yeah. Again, they're just, you know, with the caveat, he is just directly quoting the Gemara, so it's a little bit less determinate than if he had, you know, used and selected the word himself. So, to further this idea of Eretz Yisrael as the Makom HaShchina, and maybe that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was so nisave, and maybe that's exactly what the Gemara means when it says, Kol mi shadar b'chutzar, it's kimi shein l'aloha, that you're separated from the Shechina. So, if that's true, so then our relationship to Eretz Yisrael and our, let me put it this way, embrace of Eretz Yisrael is in a sense, an embrace of the Shechina. Ephraim, I just wanted you to chart that halacha for us. This is the 13th source. Gedolei HaChachamim. So, you know, this is a quote from the Sifrei, obviously, the same Sifrei that says mitzvahs. Shmuel, go ahead. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Shkula keneged kol mitzvah shevet Torah. So it's in that same Sifrei in Parsha Sekev. So the Rambam here is citing from that. Gedolei Chachamim ayu menashkin al tchum Eretz Yisrael, menashkin avana, megalgon al afara. They would roll around in her dirt. It's like, what kind of behavior is this? Rolling around in dirt and kissing stones? I mean, it seems rather primitive, does it not? Unless, of course, you're not really rolling around in the dirt and kissing the stones qua the dirt and the stones, but Mark, what might this be recognition of? And I think that's maybe why the Rambam highlights Gedolei HaChachamim, is dafka people who had this insight, who were Chachamim. Yeah, right, so that it's really about interacting with the Shechina. Kavayachol, it's as if Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li is expressing that Shir HaShirim attachment through Eretz Yisrael, because one sense is, I'm now in the presence of the Beloved. I think that this is particularly true, because the Rambam here is Meduyak, where he says, Menashkin al Tchume Eretz Yisrael. Well, go ahead, Shlomi, you wanted to make the point.
I was going to say that, because I think that kind of implies that you're going out into, because that's like a quote from, like, Rav Avi Menashe, Kibi D'Akko. So, like, doesn't that kind of imply an Akko... Tosus says like half Eretz Yisrael, half not.
Beginning of.
Yeah, doesn't imply that he's going.
Remember that scene though from the Sifrei of Zal Guenav de Maos. He looked back and he said Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Shkula Can I get called Mitzvah Shabbat Torah? That he was weeping for it. Okay. But the idea of Tchume Eretz Yisrael, I thought it was exactly the point, is that it's demarcating the boundaries. Right. If it's just about kissing the stones, qua the stones, why would you kiss the border stone more than the cornerstone? Ha. Right? Or the capstone. Nice. We got it in. Okay. So, obviously, the whole point is to demarcate the boundary, I think, as the Makom Shechina. I just wanted to bring a halachic analogy. There's a mitzvah called, mitzvah Parshas Kedoshim, Eshab Sosai Tishmoru U Tiro. See, you're supposed to be afraid of the building? Oh my God. There are monsters there. So, right, that would be a little silly. So the Rambam explains, HaMitzvah Chafalav, this is the 14th source. Go ahead, Ephraim. Hishetzivanu. Fear this house. That's what we tell the other athletic teams that come to compete here, right? It's supposed to have Yiras HaMakom. So the Rambam says, no, that's very silly. So the last line here, he says, Visham Nemar, right? Gamkein, no. They don't mean Mikdashi Tiro, means, you know, should be afraid of the wall. But rather, Right. So Mikdash Yitiro is just a proxy for Yiras Hashem, whose presence is so acutely felt in the Mikdash. Now, what's the expanded Mikdash? Yerushalayim. And, of course, at the broadest level, Eretz Yisrael. So what I'm arguing is that there's an Ava and a Yira to this. The Yira is Mikdash Yitiro. The Ava, as expressed by the Nishuk and the Chibuk and the rolling in the dirt, you know, and all kinds of things that will upset your, you know, your mother. But you know, you're getting dirty, you know, you're staining your pants. You know, everybody's mother has told them that at one point or in their life, or usually on more than one occasion, right? It's a great disconnect between how severe mothers consider pant stains and their male sons. It's just a general machlokas about that, right? This is a well-established, long-running machlokas. Anyway, so, you know, this behavior is not because, you know, one is just interested in antagonizing female family members, but on the contrary, it's actually an expression of Avas Hashem. It's the analog, it's the parallel opposite, Yaakov, of Mikdash Yitiro, lo mina mikdash, ala mimi shepakar ala mikdash. And I think that's the idea, really, of Kamisha Ein Lo Eloha. I think that's the idea of Mipnei Ma Moshe Rabbeinu Nisavah Likanei Saretz Yisrael. It's just a deep recognition that being in Eretz Yisrael is to be Ima Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo Velo Al Yidei Shaliach. And not surprisingly, in Parshas Vayeschanan, when Moshe has just completed making his great plea, V'atem HaTzvekim Badunai Eloheichem Chayim Kolchem Hayom. Now, of course, in context, it means to be Davik Bashem and not Baal Pa'or. But if you look at the just immediately preceding context to that, L'man tichyu v'asem v'yirishtem es ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokei Avoseichem nosein lachem, that being in Eretz Yisrael potentiates a different kind of dveikus. So, you know, we always say, v'chiyef shalad adam li'dubukei b'shechina, there's always going to be a certain limit and a chasm between us and the Almighty. But being in Israel brings one into that kind of proximity. Kolmi shadar b'chutz laretz kimi dome kimi she'en lo eloha. That is to say, that the being in a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is mediated or mitigated, or al yitei shaliach, to use the expression of Gemara in Tainus, does not promote the same kind of dveikos b'Hashem. For the Rambam, maybe this particularly expressed itself on having experienced that and turning your back on it. I think that's a very fascinating possibility. Maybe this even has an echo in the realm of Hallel. As we said, the suggestion of the Gemara that Neisha b'chutz laretz, you just can't celebrate that the same way, either because it's the national homeland, the Meiri type idea, or because Zeh Keli ve'anvehu, to have Zeh Hayom Asah Hashem clarity, is just much less possible outside of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And so, of course, Yom HaAtzmaut and Shivat Zion are an opportunity for us to reflect on many aspects of bracha. But let's not overlook the fact that our return to Eretz Yisrael, V'shav Hashem Elokecha es Shavuscha v'richamecha, is no less a return to Eretz Yisrael than it is a return to Hashem. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. The same Parsha Nitzavim that deals with returning to the geography of Israel is the very same Parsha Nitzavim, what we call the Parsha Satshuva, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Literally, the Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, the ones that the Gedolei HaChachamim were so careful to celebrate and to kiss, really demarcate what kind of relationship one can aspire to with the Almighty. And so, something for everybody to consider on this Yom HaAtzma'ut, in light of the Chiyuv of Dveikos Bashem, which the Rambam, I hasten to note, does enumerate, right? Maybe this is something to consider as well.